Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mike Shope.
Last night at 12:30 in the morning, I ate a can of mushrooms.
I did.
Pieces and stems, if you're wondering. As opposed to buttons. It was pieces and stems, which will be my next year's fantasy football team name.
Pieces and stems.
Pieces and stems.
And the Bulldog.
I should be ashamed to admit this publicly, but whatever. How long have we been doing this? I'm a junkie. I can't be trusted.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
You know, of course, that's old. It might have been a team name, but it's actually my, like, handle. Is that what kids call it? My name, my username on my number one site.
Over to you, Zach.
My brand.
That feels right. No, yeah.
Handle, I feel like handle, a CB's. It's Large Marge and Pee Wee's Big Adventure driving that truck on a CB. What's your handle? But yeah, Pieces and Stems, it's not my team name. It's like, oh, that's Mike Shope, I think, because he eats mushrooms in the middle of the night.
Man, you start talking about CB radios, and I'm thinking of C.W. McCall and the song Convoy, which I have a 45 of. That has not been
45.
Listened to in a long time.
I'm out of the woods with the CB.
I go back a ways.
Now, you've outdone me. Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports. A final chat for now on the 2024 NFL Draft. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me again and for this entire draft season.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
So how did the Bills do with Keon Coleman? What's the player for you, and how's the fit?
I didn't love the pick. I mean, it kind of put a damper on the entire draft for the Bills for me. I think otherwise they did tremendously with filling needs, but, I came on this show for however many weeks. I feel like I did your listeners and you guys a disservice because I think Coleman was like one of the one wide receivers that we didn't talk about at length over the last couple months. I'm on the side of, and he's certainly very polarizing, that I didn't see him get open very often against man coverage, and I don't think he's quite as good in those contested catch situations as people that are on the other side think that he is. I mean, he has the traits for it with the vertical close to 40 inches, being 6'3". There's obviously highlight reel catches like the Syracuse one that we've all seen probably 100 times in the last week. On his film, but in terms of overall consistency and just really what the Bills have liked at wide receiver in this Josh Allen, Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott era, he's kind of like totally different. He is a go up and get it, not going to get open very frequently guy on the outside. Move him inside or he's facing zone, and maybe the Bills do see a little bit more zone than other teams because defenses are a little worried about, playing man and having their cornerbacks back turn to Josh Allen, who's such a threat as a runner. In zone, he can be pretty good because he doesn't have to worry about just the ability to separate. So I think they picked him too early, but I did also mention on this show that I think as long as they just pick a receiver, Josh Allen is probably going to get the most out of him. I just don't know how good that will be from Keon Coleman.
In general, I think you're absolutely right. It's not that you did a disservice. I mean, we steer here, and you know, I mean, I guess you could have jammed it in there, but He became not a great idea for me when I started reading about the lack of separation and just it felt like of the guys that were in the region, you know, rated around where the Bills would be picking, that he had some, I think, maybe glaring deficiencies that really concerned me. The first one that freaked me out, Chris, because I love this player. You mentioned the catch against Syracuse. I might have been watching that game. I watched a lot of college football this year, and he was my first favorite idea when, you know, it was October, November, whatever. But when I started hearing, contested catch, I don't want to say that like that's a give up to me, but it's not ideal to me. I feel like if you draft a guy or you sign a guy whose biggest strength is contested catches, I'm signing up for end zone fades or something. And I just feel like there's better ideas at the goal line than end zone fades.
Yeah, totally. And I think if you look back, I mean, certainly there's guys who could separate that didn't ultimately pan out at wide receiver in the NFL. But some names that pop into my head, like N'Keal Harry, that was his, you know, bread and butter coming out of Arizona State, didn't work out with the Patriots. Laquon Treadwell out of Ole Miss, same deal, was big, was a pretty good athlete for his size, didn't separate, everyone knew that, but just made so many ridiculous catches in the SEC, didn't work out with the Vikings. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who was an early second-round pick in 2019 out of Stanford, he made, like, every contested catch in college. And it was like, if there's going to be the next Mike Evans, it might be him. So I think those players kind of served as kind of a little scary reminder to me that, to what you're saying, Bulldog, that if you're just relying on that, it's a very risky proposition. And to that point, it's always gets labeled as 50-50 balls, and, oh, this guy will come down with it. It's an 80-20 ball for him. That's not true. Like, there's not anyone in the NFL that wins in contested catches at, like, 80% of the time. I think Evans and Justin Jefferson are always like near the top of the league or have been. And they're at like 60 or maybe 70%. And the rest of like the really good players, when it's just go up and get it, are right around 50%. The guys who are not good are at 10, 20, 30%. So if that's, I mean, I could see Josh Allen being into that and saying, look, I'll just fire you the ball back shoulder. We did it with Gabe Davis a lot. Let's just do it. I mean, he's probably more apt to do that, probably along with Patrick Mahomes and any other quarterback in the league. But I just think over time, even if he's at like 40%, which would still be a pretty good rate, that means 6 of the 10 times it's falling incomplete. So that's why I'm a little bit concerned about just his ability to produce right away in this offense.
This is not a stat I've spent a lot of time studying, but my reaction to this is Mike Evans, Justin Jefferson, they have quarterbacks who, I mean, they chuck it. Mayfield and Cousins, they get picked, they're going to chuck the ball. Allen doesn't want to do that. I mean, he has a little bit of a reputation for turnovers, but some of it's fumbles, you know. Like, what's ideal? What's best? What's best is you have enough time to go through your progressions, even if you're sort of out of the pocket, and you're going to find somebody open who is not going to count for this stat. And, you know, that's kind of probably what they want to be. Then you get to separation here for Coleman. So we'll go all around about it many times, I'm sure.
What is there to like? Because I'll try to get us started in this regard. I do like that he's as young as he is, and I like the basketball background. Thinking about Stevie Johnson and how hard he was to cover. Not a fast guy, not as big as this guy, but also not a small guy, Stevie. Maybe just a couple inches shorter. So like you can make it work, and I feel like there'll be time to grow into it, but I'm not sure starting on the boundary as a rookie and being pretty raw is a great fit either.
No, totally. And I do think those two things are the biggest positives to his profile, that he is, you know, still 20 years old. There was a lot of, I mean, we talked about it, how many 23 and 24-year-olds that were in this draft, even at the wide receiver spot. So it's kind of an incomplete grade for him. Like, you just don't know what he's going to be when he could even grow a little bit. I mean, he's still very, very young. I do like when it comes to the basketball background, in watching his film, he was like the primary screen guy in that offense. So they definitely trusted him and I think early on we talked about how clear it was that Diggs did not want any part of that role in the offense, but Joe Brady wants that to be part of the offense. It was with the Saints. It was at LSU. Keon Coleman has the body to be able to absorb those hits that you're bound to get when you're catching those screens. And at 6'3", 215, he has some wiggle to his game. I mean, his career missed tackle force rate was like at 17%, which is pretty good. I mean, you like to see it over 20, but to be a bigger wide receiver, you usually see those numbers closer to 10 or 15. So he certainly can make some guys miss and is young. I think that, like, those two elements make him at least intriguing over maybe not just like week one, 2024, but over the course of his rookie contract.
Let's spend a minute or two on the Bills' process here in this draft, then talk about a couple other, at least, picks that they made, then maybe a bigger picture look at what happened, at least in round one. Six quarterbacks early, no defensive players, that the bigger storylines league-wide. So the two trades down, Chris, I got excited about that. I felt like that always made sense. But a reason why I liked it so much was that they had all day Friday to move again, take advantage of the 19 hours, I think I might have thought it was, to, you know, figure out some new way to play it. And that didn't happen. It ended up being Coleman who, okay, whatever, fine. Are you on the same page with me here, like in terms of how the Bills did it? Of course, one of those trades is with Kansas City, which has been a big discussion.
Yeah, I was fine with it. I mean, I do understand the people that are upset that it was with Kansas City. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with, like, hey, well, they would have gotten him anyway, so why don't we just make the trade? But I do like what they did in saying that there was maybe some thought that they were just going to pick Keon Coleman at 28, but maybe had a good feel of, hey, he's probably not going to go until the early second. We could move back twice. The second trade back to move up 60 picks, to move back one pick and still get the guy that they presumably wanted all along was fantastic. And that was kind of the one thing, I feel like I said it before the draft, that for as good of a job as Brandon Bean has done, free agency, in the draft, I mean, there was a couple down years, but lately, the last couple drafts have been good. I was not really ever a huge fan of the constant trading up because, and I think the Bills were kind of seeing that was kind of an underrated storyline with where they were financially. That, I mean, yes, the Diggs contract, Von Miller's, Josh Allen's are all big, but you need the, like, those young, cheap players on the roster to have, you know, a lot of lower cap hit players to keep building your roster. So I think they really went full bore with this being kind of a reset year. And what's key about that is it doesn't have to have a negative connotation because the Chiefs kind of sort of just did that last year and they won the Super Bowl and they didn't have this ridiculous receiving group. The defense actually, I don't want to say carried them, but kind of did at some points of this, of last mm-hmm. season and certainly in the playoffs. I think that's more of what the Bills were trying to do as opposed to, hey, let's get our guy, let's trade up a ton of picks and be barren next year in 2025. I like it just from a general philosophy. Trading back is almost always the right decision in the draft.
One last thing on Coleman from me, Chris, and that's how Brandon Bean has spoken about him already. And, I mean, I guess on one hand, I respect that there's no hiding the need that sure. they have at the position, but to talk about this kid raw and there's a learning curve, but starting on the boundary and, like, he's walking into Gabe Davis's spot, I'm a little surprised that they're not slower playing that or more slowly playing that publicly just because, you know, I think we're all going to be staring at the TV in September going, okay, kid, what do you got?
Yeah, they're certainly kind of cranking up the pressure a little bit with Coleman. But like you mentioned, like I don't blame Brandon Bean for showing conviction in the pick that he made and, you know, did it after trading down twice. The one thing that, and this is going to make me sound like I'm not an expert with this, and certainly Sean McDermott, Joe Brady, Brandon Bean know way more about offensive philosophies, the X's and O's than I do, but I do watch a lot of film. It's kind of how I felt about last season about the middle linebacker job or mm-hmm. like or inside-outside corner or where receivers are aligned. When I mean, you guys watch Bills games. All your listeners watch all the games. It's not like so static. It's not like Stephon Diggs took every single snap mm-hmm. right next to the sideline, never motioned, was never in the slot, Justin Jefferson takes every single snap as an X receiver on the outside. I kind of guessing that Joe Brady will really use a lot of more condensed formations, closer, all closer together, where you can create those natural picks using a lot of 12 personnel, where maybe Keon Coleman will actually be the furthest wide receiver outside of the formation. But is he going to be running down the hash marks of the sideline? I don't necessarily think that's going to be where he's at 80% of the time. I think we can kind of get a little bit, and this certainly happens to me too, get a little bit too, I would say almost obsessed with, hey, what does the middle linebacker do? Yeah. What does an outside linebacker do? When in today's NFL, if you're a linebacker, you got to play in the box, you got to play the slot. Same is true with the wide receiver spot, that you can have it drawn up, say you're the X, you're the Y, you're the Z, and have all these different names. But there's so much movement today that I don't think he has to just be this stagnant guy on the perimeter.
Chris, how about at least their next two picks? Just quick thoughts on Bishop and then Dwayne Carter. And with Carter, the defensive tackle from Duke picked late in round three, I think that also sort of gets you back to the trade with the Chiefs because, okay, well, if you're going to move up from round four to round three like that, how valuable did that move end up being, do you think? Is there any read on, you know, the value of Dwayne Carter from you on just like, okay, well, yes, the trade up, you know, maybe was negative in this way, but at least you got this guy, for example.
Yeah, I'll start with your first question on Cole Bishop, and I'll actually bring up his negatives first because there's way fewer negatives than positives. He tends to miss a fair amount of tackles, although almost every safety that I scouted in this class, like there's like one or two that were great tacklers. All the rest, you know, had lower rates of just tackling efficiency, and he wasn't someone that had, like, you know, 9 interceptions the last 2 years and 30 pass breakups. Everything else about his game, understanding where he needs to be, the range that he showed in coverage and as a run stopper, playing, I mean, talk about playing different positions, played everywhere. He just feels like someone that I think Sean McDermott is going to get the most out of and can be really that perfect replacement for Jordan Poyer in this defense. And to your second question on Dwayne Carter, I don't know if we talked about it pre-draft because we were always focused on the wide receivers, of course, but I had the strong belief that the Bills desperately needed another interior pass rusher, that to go into the 2024 season with Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, Austin Johnson, and not really much else in terms of, you know, a serious pass rusher up the field, you can't solely rely on Ed Oliver. I was thinking that, you know, I didn't know when they would do it, but I figured they would, or I would have liked for them to do it, and they did it in the third round with Dwayne Carter. Not quite Ed Oliver athletically. I mean, not a lot of players are, but in terms of just being a three-down defensive tackle who can get up the field and did generate pressure at a pretty good rate in college, that's what I saw on film. And then certainly the Bills have really hyped up, and I think rightfully so, everything that he does, you know, off the field with his charisma and his leadership and the fact that he was a three-time captain at Duke. So I think the trade back, you absolutely have to look at what they did with that. And that was certainly addressing a need at a player that seemed to be picked at the right value.
We got time for a couple of more here. The running back in the fourth round out of Kentucky. And then I'm intrigued. I know it's you know, maybe a long shot because of where he ended up being picked, but a guy that played so much football in the SEC at center. I feel like the fifth round center, that maybe there's a player there, but I should really just give you the floor.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Bills' fifth round was spectacular. Like, to get Cedric Van Pran, I thought was someone that should have been picked maybe a round or two earlier. And like you mentioned, multiple-year starter and was really good in the SEC, played in a lot of big games. You know, he's a great run blocker because that's what Georgia really was, you know, starred at offensively the last two or three years as they won the back-to-back national titles. But in watching him this year, the mobility, the athleticism, and the pass protection, I think, got a lot better in 2023. It felt like, I know we've all, you know, talked about the Connor McGovern switch from guard down to center. I think Van Pran can really compete for the starting center job sooner rather than later, because again, he is battle tested in the SEC facing LSU and Auburn and Alabama. And if you look on some way too early mock drafts last year, and I remember putting him in some, he was getting first round buzz. Like, his movement skills, he's not just this clunky Georgia run blocker. He's really athletic. So I thought that was a fantastic pick. Ray Davis, I didn't love. I understand why they picked him because he's 5'8", 211 pounds. He's big. Brandon Bean said he's a load. Like, he can really run over people. The elusiveness just didn't really do it for me. Now, he did carry the ball a lot. I'm not a huge fan of the fact that he's like 24 years old, going to be 25 as a rookie. I thought there were other running backs available that could have fit that mold of a bigger body, kind of fit that Latavius Murray role. But again, it's a fourth round running back. I think anyone that you pick there is most likely going to be a, you know, backup, just very niche player. And Javon Solomon is someone that I think can really outplay his draft position, because if he was probably an inch or maybe 2 inches taller, he's probably a second round pick. He's just over 6 foot, 240-ish, 250, so he's not way underweight. And his length is like what you would normally see out of a 6'3", 6'4" defensive end. He has over 33-inch arms. The pass rush moves are there. He plays with power. He's exactly the specific type of edge rusher that I felt the Bills really needed to add to the offense in this, or to the defense that was filled with these A.J. Epineses and Gregory Rousseaus and previously Carlos Basham. They needed someone that could win quickly around the corner, and that is exactly what Javon Solomon does.
Haven't we all wondered how our lives might be different if we were 2 inches taller?
Exactly.
I sure have. Maybe Bulldog has. He's tall enough.
I thought more about 2 inches shorter, honestly.
Yeah, maybe.
Shopping for clothes as a kid was not fun.
Chris, I want to get some sort of big takeaway from you on this draft here before you go. You don't have to make it about Michael Penix if you don't want to, but what about it? Anything?
Yeah, that I think we have seen that, and maybe this will be like the 2011 draft class where we had Jake Locker and Blaine Gabbert and Christian Ponder all going inside the top 15. Yep. But we just realized, or been reminded of, just how vital quarterback is and how much teams will make what I think are some lesser quarterback prospects just convince themselves that they are worth as much or as high as a top 10 or top 12 pick. For those six quarterbacks to go that early, maybe half will work out. And I think the other half were going to say they probably, and it's not going to be on the quarterbacks themselves. It's going to be on the teams that picked them way too early. It's kind of that Dante Whitner theory again, that had Whitner been a third round pick, Bills fans would have been fine with him, but he was a top 10 pick. Don't be surprised if a few of these quarterbacks are ultimately kind of deemed as they got picked significantly too early in this draft.
I think especially Penix for that point, even though he's a different case, like if Atlanta does that in round two, they wouldn't have the world crashing on their heads.
Oh, absolutely not.
You know,
I think people would have thought of it being kind of a shrewd move in the second round.
Right, right. Jalen Hurts would always be the comp.
Right.
Yep. And now instead, though, like, it looks like such a waste. Okay. Chris, thanks one more time for all the time you've given us. Appreciate it. We learned a lot.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports. We begin our coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft tonight, actually.
And with that in mind, Chris Trapasso yes. will be joining us Thursdays at 5 o'clock for the rest of the offseason.
Starting tomorrow.
Poor Chris.
And during Bills games. We're going to have him on during Bills games to talk about what's going on in college football and what the Bills might need. So good. The Bills threw 545 passes last year. 309, more than half, went to players who are no longer on the team. Keon Coleman will not be getting 309 targets, or even half that, as a rookie.
How many passes did you say they threw? Oh, okay. I'm looking at attempts. And, yeah, okay. That doesn't, yeah.
I'm looking at attempts.
579 I've got for Allen.
Oh, maybe like throwaways are not included. I'm looking at targets.
Okay, right.
Sorry. It's a different number. You're right. It's a different number.
Okay.
545 targets, 309 left. What happens? 803-0550 for your calls. Keon Coleman, we continue to debate it. And the trade with Kansas City. Bills fans are talking about it. So are we. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Look at how Keon Coleman just gets buckets. Like, he's the Anthony Edwards of the receiver position. Like, someone that's brash. He's the George Pickens of this draft, you know? So I was shocked to see him not go. You want someone like that on the perimeter. But they both land in ideal spots. He's going to be a star in Buffalo.
Emery Hunt talking up Keon Coleman. Would you take George Pickens? I guess.
Yeah. Although, part of the Pickens narrative was that he was a bit of a, just maybe not reliable off the field or digging in. And there's been some examples of him as a pro sort of taking downs off. I feel like Coleman, the Bills crushed on him, I think, because of his prowess. A part of it is that he's Gabe Davis. He'll lean into the blocking part of the game, and I don't think Pickens really has that. So, but as far as like the athlete and as dangerous a player, yeah, I would. If Coleman becomes that much of a threat in this passing game, absolutely. That sounds fantastic to me.
I wonder what kind of year Pickens has with Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. I suppose, and Arthur Smith, and no Deontay Johnson, but Roman Wilson, it's a player I would have liked for the Bills, probably not at pick 33, laying out Pittsburgh here. 803-0550 to join us. I know not all of you have called in with your thoughts on Coleman. Maybe you'd like to do that. I got a letter today from Lindy Ruff.
Come on.
Yes.
Oh, season ticket holder thing.
That's right.
Okay. Sorry.
Well, I was not the only person to get... It starts Dear Sabres fans.
Oh.
Damn.
No. I was excited for a second there.
Yeah, I guess I didn't read it closely enough.
Trying to get his way onto our... It's always been the morning show's domain to have the Sabres coach on, but if you wanted to come on our show, that'd be great.
Embarrassingly, I asked Sneaky Joe yesterday, have you gotten Lindy yet? And he's like, he was on this morning. I go, I'm sorry. Yeah. I should have known, but I didn't know that. Because I was ready to pounce if he hadn't.
Yeah, sure.
I would love to talk to him. I can't wait to talk to him again. I can't wait to talk to Lindy Ruff again.
All right.
Yeah. It'd be cool if it's casual. Lindy Ruff, we did not have, each other's number or anything like that. I was never, off-air friends with him. I wouldn't call it that. But we've had a few, he was here a long time. We had a few
conversations along the way that I consider memorable and meaningful to me. And a couple were about hockey and a couple weren't. And one of my favorite memories of those great teams, those great years. I mean, remember, those two or so Sabre years, it wasn't just their games. They were a phenomenon. Like, they were every player on the team, you knew what his pets' names were. Like, just everything mattered. And they still have had these alumni-driven wine nights and different events. And I can remember one of those in the atrium at the arena. It's been a long time since I've been to any of them, but I remember one of these nights with my wife and our friends, I bid on and won a pink hockey stick with all the signatures of the players. And I felt enough like sort of nerve to go up to Lindy and I asked him, do you know the story already? I asked him to play a joke on my friend's wife.
All right.
Like something, she was maybe self-conscious about what she was wearing and she was excited to meet Lindy Ruff at this event. And I thought, you know what? Because he is a famous prankster, maybe, Ruff. Like, is he sort of known for that?
Yeah.
One time, I thought I was getting Darcy's number, and I called, and the person said, you have the wrong number. And I'm like, oh, my God, what if this person recognized my voice? And I think it was Lindy's number. I think Darcy maybe gave out Lindy's number. I wish I had kept it. So I thought maybe he'd be up for it, and he was. And it's not like, it wasn't amazing. I just asked him, like, would you come over and meet my friend and his wife and maybe say something about her hat, whatever it was, you know? So he does that. It was very friendly and playful. And I think somehow we were talking about Sambuca. Maybe there was like an open bar or a cash bar. And maybe this was during Mad Men. And they had Sambuca con la mosca and Mad Men, which with the flies, where you put an espresso bean in it. And I was sort of digging that. So whatever, we started talking about that. And, you know, I'm stereotyping. I'm thinking of Lindy, like, you know, he's been through the years in hockey. He sort of surprised me when he said, you can drink that? I'm like, damn right I can. Like, I'm sort of the grown man here. Like, oh, I can drink Sambuca. And he said something like, I've never been able to, but he said, when we win the Stanley Cup, I'll drink Sambuca with you.
Okay, right.
That's how the story ends.
Well, you got another crack at that.
We have another crack at that. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I am so in.
Yeah.
I am so in on this.
You remember, Lindy saved me, this is a long, long time ago now, but he saved me he saved me a lot of money and probably a lot of explaining that I would have had to do. Golf tournament. I mean, I don't even know. I might have still been working in the morning. That I don't even know if we knew each other professionally even at the time. Anyway, golf tournament, Sabre alumni thing out in Niagara Falls. And whole, you know, the usual. The whole day, like beers, you know, the whole thing. Dinner, cigars, and the auction part of the night comes along, and I'm standing with, I think I'd played with Larry Playfair during the day, or just had gravitated to him during the, you know, the cocktails and the auction part. So I'm standing kind of in the back of the room with Larry. We're both pretty big guys. We're sort of watching this auction happening, and they get to this Maurice Richard framed lithograph, like just this beautiful. I still do. I loved Maurice Richard. His eyes, like there are some famous photos of him that he just looks like he could just burn a hole in you if you look at the photo for too long. They're very intense looking dude, right? And so there's this beautiful colors, you know, the Montreal colors, and it's Richard, and this item is up for auction, and I don't know, the bidding got to like $800 or something, and I raised my hand like and Larry, I still remember Larry's head, like if I was standing on Larry's left, his head turned to me like in a cartoon, like it made a sound like zoinks, like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know, but it's Maurice Richard. I love Maurice Richard. He's like, you know, I'm like, yeah, I know. And I'm already, like, I'm panicking already. Like, what did I do? Going once, Bulldog with the high bid. And I'm like, oh my God, how long am I going to hide this in my Nissan Altima from my wife so that she doesn't have to know that I just spent $800 on a, you know, a painting of a hockey player? Oh my God. And
the frame though.
Right. I'm just like, going once, going twice. Lindy raised his hand. Like, he outbid me. I'm like,
so you raised him.
Oh, dude, thank you so much.
So you raised him right back.
Yeah, no, I was just like, man, I can breathe again. Thank you, Lindy.
You made a move on Johnny Chan.
I would have had this nice, you know, Maurice Richard.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Piece of artwork, but
yeah, you'd still have it.
Yeah,
that's right. Say you won't miss the money.
Yeah, I don't know. It would have been a tough one. Whatever. We'd been drinking all day. And just raised my hand. It was like a reflex. I love Maurice Richard. I got $800.
Oh, those places, they get you though.
I did not have $800.
The best of those auction people can really,
yeah,
they can really get in your head.
So, Lindy, I still owe you one for that. If you're out there.
So you owe him something, maybe a cut for the lithograph. And maybe he'll end up owing me a Sambuca or something.
So I gotta find out if three-way trade. I wonder if he still has that.
maybe he never had it.
Maybe he gave it away. I don't know. But yeah, he definitely saved me.
He was talking about getting autographs, or one at least, from a player at the press conference. This is different, I know. But he told a thing about getting an autograph. Remember this from last week. This is last week. The press conference and how he was trying to get an autograph, and what was the story?
It's not ringing a bell.
Okay. Well, I don't remember why I cared about it right now, but I did. For some reason, I cared about that. Anyway, go Lindy. 803-0550 for your calls. We'll take a break here. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back, everybody. I've had Bison's notes prepared here the last couple of days. Yesterday never came up. Wanted to mention Alek Manoah on a fourth rehab start from Toronto. And he's done poorly for the Bisons. Pitching against Paul Skenes, the number one overall pick in baseball in the Pirates system for Indianapolis. That was yesterday. Never ended up mentioning it, but they both were amazing in the game. And the Bisons eventually lost in extra innings. And I'm all ready for today. Paulo Espino, who's older, from Panama, starting for them. And the game was over before our show even started. They played in the morning.
Yeah, those school day specials. Yeah.
But they are still perfect.
After seven?
When leading after seven innings for the season. 8-0. That would not have changed today, because I'm pretty sure when they lost by like 12 runs, they were not ahead in the eighth today.
I'm pretty confident. I mean, I'm not seeing a line score, but you're probably right on that.
I think so. Yeah. I never followed back up on the number of targets. We can do that. Bills receiving options here after the next update, and maybe we'll get a call or two. 803-0550 is the number. Bulldog did a great thing today, fetching a AA battery so that we could use the remote and put on the Dortmund game. So thank you again for that.
My pleasure.
Where did you get it?
I had to drop something off with the engineering department, as it were, and they had exactly three AA batteries left. I took two of them.
Oh, wow. You took two?
I asked, do you have any? They said, yeah. And they went, you know, over, and there are only three there. And I'm like, well, I need two. I'm like, fine. So I assume they're going to restock.
As a gift recently from my family, I got a battery. I think it's called the Battery Daddy. And it's this big box where you fit in all your batteries. So they're not just like in a bin all mixed up. So they're all like sized appropriately and you put all your batteries in. And I feel like I filled it to about 20% capacity at the most. Double A's, triple A's, the little round guys, the big ones. The
round guys, that's a good point.
The round guys are key, right? Like I have a scale that needs the round guy.
Having that organized, I mean, it's too late for me now. Like, you know, when kids were younger, you know, double A, triple A batteries for different toys and whatever. I mean, we had a stock. We never had a place that they were kept. So it was always and still is. Is there any double A batteries? And I got like eight places to go look. Like, I don't, this drawer and this thing? No, not there. I wait, I've seen some here. No.
So typical, isn't it?
Now, I don't know. I mean, we use remotes, but I feel like I haven't had to change remote batteries for the TV or anything in years. But those little guys, the flat ones for like a car remote or where
garage door.
I go through them with guitar tuners. Those flat little guys. That's the only reason I ever need batteries anymore is like those guitar tuners, those little flat guys.
And they're all different numbers.
Yeah, they are.
You have to check to see what exact number you need.
Right.
So I've got this great system now for batteries. I don't have to do the goose chase anymore. I just don't know where the battery daddy is.
See, I was going to say.
I got to know where the daddy is.
My problem with that concept would be,
losing the daddy.
My wife would always move it around probably, and then I would not know where that is, and I'd be right back where I was.
Oh.
Searching the whole house. Thinking, are there any batteries over there?
Life is just always giving you new challenges. Yeah. Some battery NFL... Daddy. Some stats, and where do you think all these 309 vacated targets are going? They're not all going to Keon Coleman and Curtis Samuel, or are they? Ray Davis?
150 apiece.
Sign me up. 150 apiece. Almost as many as Diggs had last year. 803-0550 for your comments. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.